Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to enjoy a conversation between my co-host, Ryan Dobson, and Pastor Mike Erie. Every one of us has felt bored with God at some point in our lives. Each one of us has lost the mystery and wonder of faith in Christ and the gospel, whether we're sitting at church wondering where the excitement has gone, or when we're in our homes and we feel like God's left us. Every Christian has struggled with feeling God's presence. Well, on today's program, Ryan is going to talk with Pastor Mike Erie about his new book, Astonished, Recapturing the Wonder, Awe, and Mystery of Life with God. During our program, Pastor Erie describes what it means to hear from God, sense his presence, and ultimately experience Jesus in a very real way. Pastor Erie is the pastor of First Evangelical Free Church in Fullerton, California. He has previously served at both Mariners Church and Rock Harbor Church in Orange County. He is also a well-known speaker and author, and it's such an honor to have him on our program today. Let's go ahead and get to the broadcast now. Here's Ryan Dobson and Pastor Mike Erie for part one of Astonished by God on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Mike, we've had a great trip in California, and I'm so excited to talk to you. You got a new book out. I want to talk about your family. We've got a pretty long history together.
Yes, we do.
You are my pastor, which is great. And here's what I got to say, too. You came into that pastor after some tough things had gone on and took over and took control. You were an in-charge person. I appreciated it. And you were easy to take advice from.
Thanks, man.
Because it wasn't couched in anything else. It was just, this is what I think is right based on my past experience. I mean, you got a degree from Talbot. You know, you were a pastor at Mariners and Rock Harbor. You're now the pastor of EV Free Fullerton. And helped my life a lot. And I know Laura loves you.
Don't ruin it for her.
No, there's no ruining. And you got a new book out we're going to talk about today. It's called Astonished, Recapturing the Wonder, Awe, and Mystery of Life with God. And man, I started reading it and reading through the prep that our producers gave me. It touches a nerve with me. I'm so excited about it because I've been speaking a lot lately, and I talk about hearing the voice of God. There have been some times in my life where I clearly have heard the voice of God. And some people make fun of you for that, and they go, oh, what does God sound like? And you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Can I tell you what he sounds like? I can't.
Yeah.
But I know.
You know when he talks.
When he talks.
That's right.
And I was talking about that a couple weeks ago with a bunch of high school students at a camp, and I had four or five questions. Well, how do you know? How do you really know? And what that comes from is I've been praying. I got something going on in my life, and I am hearing crickets.
Right.
And it's freaking me out, and I've put all my faith and trust in this thing, in this being, and I've read scripture, and I've heard a lot of people talk, and I'm not hearing anything, and I'm freaking out.
Yep.
And you're talking about this. You're talking about the mystery. You know, I hear pastors say, yeah, I understand God, and I think, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, good luck.
I really don't.
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
And he says we don't. We see through
That's
a glass
right.
darkly.
That's
and
right.
and
That's right.
you know, you read in Job where God speaks to Job and he says, you're never gonna understand me.
That's right.
But it's scary.
That's right.
That's where the scary part of faith comes in, because I have based my entire life, my parenting, my marriage, my finances, my ethics, every single thing on this. And sometimes I pray and I don't hear anything. What do you tell people that are desperate and they're downtrodden and they're going through a separation, or they've been left by a spouse, or they got a child that's, you know, going nuts, or you know, they're pregnant and they think maybe something's wrong?
Yes.
What do you tell that person?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell them is doubt and faith aren't opposites in the Bible. Faith and sight seem to be opposite. So Paul juxtaposes faith with sight, and the author of Hebrews famously says that faith is being certain of what we do not see. So the process of lament the grieving. So much of what goes against modern expressions of Christianity, right? Because in church, we always have to end the sermon with a pretty bow and three steps, mm-hmm. and we have to have an uplifting song to kind of move us out into the world. And unfortunately, the life of faith doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so if we're not careful, we've just had a nice hour-long pep rally for Jesus, but we haven't really come into contact with him. Because what he does, he gives us enough to know he's good, but he gives us enough to know that we'll never be able to figure him out. And so the tension of knowing enough to know that we don't know everything, that is what should drive our worship, drive our prayer. And so the folks that find themselves in brokenness, one of the first things I simply say is all of the agony. You can't think of that as something separate from worship, because in the Psalms, in the book of Job, in Lamentations, we have so much permission to bring that stuff before God in its rawest form.
Yeah.
But we never see that done in our worship music, in our speaking, in our public praying. No one's sitting there saying, God, you've deceived me, you've abandoned me, you've betrayed me. No one says those kind of things.
It's true. My pastor, we went through the Lent season, and he preached the entire Lent season on lament.
Yes.
He
Good
said,
for him.
Of the, I forget what the whole thing is with... Yep. Praise and worship music, there's some code for it. And in the top 100 since that chart was invented, there has never been one song in a minor key.
Wow.
Never. And that's exactly what you're talking about. You know, I listen to the blues. I listen to Buddy Guy. And I was listening to a Buddy Guy song, and he's singing, please, please don't leave me. Please, baby. Yeah. I'm going to die if you leave me. There's this, you can feel the heartbreak. You can see him on his knees. You can hear the panic in his voice.
That's right.
And we don't hear that in music, in Christian music. And now I hear it in secular music.
All the time.
I hear my heart broke. I hear you've done me wrong. I hear I'm confused and I don't know what I'm doing.
Country music would have no fodder if there wasn't lament.
Absolutely. And yet, Christians who are supposed to have a purpose and an answer are afraid of telling people, hey, I'm sad too.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? I don't like some of the decisions God's allowed into my life.
That's right.
I talk about that a lot. I talk about grief and I talk about pain and suffering. Laura and I, my wife, went through four miscarriages in a row after Lincoln. And I have no explanation at all for that.
Yeah.
People go, oh, did you see specialist? Of course. Come on. Really? I rolled dice and hoped, you know, I read tea. Of course we went to a specialist. We did every possible thing under the sun. And our doctor said, Ryan, this is very common.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand it. And it still causes me a great deal of pain.
Yeah.
And when finally Laura was pregnant with Lucy, I had such a difficult time bonding with her in the womb because I kept waiting for the shoe to drop.
Absolutely.
But I wear that on my sleeve. Yeah. I tell people, I don't like the decision God allowed in my life.
That's
if
right.
I could change it, I would.
Yeah.
But I also have to trust that God knows me better than I know myself, that he's going to put me in a situation that's going to be for my eternal benefit.
Or he'll redeem a situation.
Yeah.
So I like that you're saying, because I think and part of what we talk about in the book is my personal opinion, and lots will disagree, I don't think all of these things are from God. I don't think God gave my son Down syndrome to bless us as parents or to teach me a lesson or whatever.
To give you a better testimony?
Right.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Yes. Goodness, I heard so many things like that.
Oh, it is.
Do you know the testimony you're going to have now? Oh, thanks.
And
thank
that's
you.
True.
It is.
But it's not, I mean, when we
It's told, not helpful in the middle of it.
No, it is sure not. Because, and it's uncomfortable because we're not allowed to be in process. So we found out 3 months before our little boy was born that he had Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
He's number three.
Is Seth.
Seth is his name. Yep. He's 5 and a half now. But 3 months before he was born, we found out he had Down syndrome. Now, we had stopped having children after two precisely because we were afraid of Down syndrome.
No, come on. Really?
No, absolutely. My wife had had it, and our first child had had some early markers for it. We were terrified.
Right.
And now my wife was over 35, so the chances are exponential.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like God said to me near the Orange County Fairgrounds as we were driving, I remember the moment, I feel like he said to me, live by faith and not by fear. So we went ahead to have a third child. We found out he has Down syndrome. And I went, really?
Mike, really? I got to take you back. So really? You're at an OB. You're at an appointment with your wife. They're doing ultrasounds and all these types of things.
Yep.
And they tell you the thing that you have feared the most. Your wife has feared the most.
Yep.
You specifically did not want to get in the situation and took measures
to
not be exactly where you were at that moment.
That's right.
You're a pastor.
Correct.
You also know there's going to be thousands of people watching you walk through this.
Yeah.
What's your first thought?
I can't share it on radio, was my first thought. My second thought was... I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. It was actually, we found out the day that the 1 year anniversary of my dad's death.
Oh my
And
goodness.
it was, you just, really? And so we told.
I ask you this, Mike, because there are so many people that you talk to about faith and about Christianity, about following Christ. And somewhere in the back of their head, it's like, but I don't want them to send me to, you know, the jungles of Borneo.
Yes.
If there's a jungle in Borneo, I'm in the jungles of Vietnam to win. Right. I don't want to do that.
That's right.
But I really want faith.
I want to pre-negotiate.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I want
and good luck with that.
I want a faith-based prenup.
That's
because
exactly
I really want to be comfortable.
That's right.
But I want you to take care of all this stuff.
Yes. Yes. And good luck with that. And that, Ryan, you have exactly nailed the argument of the book, that much of Christianity is a form of risk management designed to keep us from the things that God uses most to form us and shape us. Mystery, tension, awe, wonder, paradox. Absolutely. So Christianity becomes this contractual arrangement where I pray for my kid, they turn out fine. I give money, he takes care of me. I wait to have sex before marriage, and then afterwards, it's awesome. And you know, no one goes into it like this, but that's what it becomes if we're not careful. And so when you come across people that are messy, that are addicted, or they're broken, we don't have a lot to say to them because we haven't engaged in those parts of the scripture and in those massive parts of what God's like enough to realize, oh my goodness, there's normalcy here. There's nothing surprising here that God does some of his best work. Dallas Willard has a great line. If you want to know where God lives, it's at the end of your rope.
Yeah.
That's where God lives, at the end of your rope. And we know that, but we don't want to experience it.
Yes. We want to be inspired by other people that go through it.
Exactly. So,
but
so,
I don't want to be those people's exactly inspiration.
Right. Exactly right. So we have a whole bunch of people who follow Jesus. And so it's a vicarious kind of thing. But what God will do is that he will relentlessly resist every box, every bow, every little bit. Now, again, we can know enough. And that's where, because we're so gospel illiterate, we don't read the four gospels over and over and over and over and over.
But we read what other people think about the gospels a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we think the whole system's a system of theology. So we start in Romans and then read the gospels instead of reading the gospels and then getting into the epistles. And if you do it that way, you come to far different conclusions about what Jesus is up to. That's beyond the scope, I'm sure, of this interview. But the thing that I see, Old Testament, New Testament, is a God who continually disappoints his people. And not in his faithfulness, his character, his goodness, but in the expectations they place on him.
Right.
So the old Bill Bright, Campus Crusade, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's true, but wonderful has a far different meaning than American Western Christianity.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. Because you talk about this in your book. It's interesting because I see certain pastors and certain churches promise things that aren't promised in the Bible. And in a sense, they equate joy with stuff.
Mm.
You know, if you
That's
follow God,
yep.
you're going to get lots and lots and lots of things, which will make you happy.
Right.
And I think, you know, I've been all over the world. I've been to first world countries where people love the Lord and they have deep personal joy in the midst of abject poverty and death and
That's
disease and waste and every horrible thing I would never want to be in.
Yeah.
And yet you look at them.
They have nothing, and yet they possess everything.
Everything. Yeah. And they see the miraculous.
That's right.
You hear about healings and things that you don't see really in a lot of Western churches.
Right.
What's keeping American or Western Christians from seeing the miraculous? What is different about a first world, third world?
Desperation. End of story. I mean, the whole thing hinges on desperation. You can make two columns in the Gospels. Jesus encounters desperate people and Jesus encounters non-desperate people. And he has two completely different reactions to each. So the woman that digs or that fights through the crowd to touch the hem of his robe,
yeah.
The folks that dig through the roof to lower the paralytic, the sinful woman that interrupts the dinner party, boom, healing, forgiveness, blessing, no problem. The rich man that has other options. In Luke 9, you have three potential disciples that want to follow it or that Jesus invites, and they kind of have misunderstandings of what followership entails. Jesus never begged, never bribed, never overpromised.
Mm-hmm.
If anything went at his height of his popularity, he would withdraw or he would offer a hard teaching. And so,
sell everything and follow me.
Yeah, exactly.
Going away sad. It's easier for a rich person to get.
That's right.
You know, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get into heaven. I wonder if that is part of the problem with Western society. Is all of our problems have been taken care of? I'm not looking for food for survival. I'm looking for food as an experience.
Why pray for daily bread when you can just go buy some?
Yeah.
But even more deeply than that, I think what Western Christianity, and not all of it. I mean, we're overgeneralizing.
No. Yes.
But we've lost the main point that is simply this. Jesus is the reward of following Jesus. Jesus isn't an instrument to something else. He's not an instrument to blessing. He's not an instrument to happiness. He's not an instrument to wealth. He's not an instrument to health. Jesus is the reward. He's the treasure. And in American Christianity, we're convinced there's lots of treasure elsewhere. And so following Jesus seems like a burden. So it's the people that are at the end of their rope, that have hit the very bottom of themselves, that are at the end of their resources and ingenuity and whatever else, there they get a glimpse of Jesus that's similar to what folks overseas get a glimpse of regularly. Namely, the God who will supply what we need, but not the God who supplies what we want. And it is such a big thing for us to get our minds around that Jesus is the reward of Jesus. And until you're convinced of that, following him just seems like it's a burden.
Sure. Okay, let's talk about that in your own life. Seth's diagnosed with Downs.
Yeah.
You got 3 more months.
Come on.
You go into blind panic.
Blind panic, absolutely.
And, this is an interesting thing, too. I was talking to my dad about this. I was in a restaurant not long ago, and I saw an adult Down syndrome.
Yep.
With her parents,
yep.
Who had to be in their 70s, maybe 80s,
yeah.
Which,
yep.
I don't know, honestly, Mike, I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad, I said, it struck me as so odd because you don't ever see that.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you know why, don't you? And I go, no. And he goes, because they abort them all, Ryan.
92% is what we found. When we found out.
8 out of 100.
Right, make it.
Survive.
If you find out ahead of time, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's going to decrease because they've now, at least in 2011, I was reading, a new test specifically for Down syndrome is available, so you don't have to do an amnio. I don't know if that's widely available across the United States yet. It was a UK medical journal. But the idea. And in a moment of blind panic, I get it. I mean, we were walking with a family after Seth was born. He was about 2-3 years old. We were walking with another family. The family, well, as far as I knew, wasn't religious. They had a child, a little boy with cerebral palsy, significant, mm-hmm. 20 surgeries.
Oh.
And they just had a little girl who was 12 weeks premature, and she had Down syndrome. Okay, so, and they just couldn't raise her. They just thought, there's no way they can raise this little girl. It's too much. And so we got put in touch with them. We were going to adopt this little girl because we just were so sympathetic to the oh crud factor of there's no way we can handle this. But what was so amazing was—
Is this before Seth?
No, this was after Seth was born.
Okay.
This was after Seth was born.
That's an interesting switch.
Because
you said, in a million years,
yes.
Please no.
Yes.
Please. And yep. Now you're asking for it twice.
Right, which Yeah, it was so, and some of that came from, I worked with a guy named Todd Proctor at Rock Harbor. His wife had said something to us that was really profound. She'd said, you know, quit praying for Seth's healing. I think Seth's going to be a healer. And we've seen that. Now, again, that's the cliche answer intellectually, but to come to believe that,
I'm so glad that you said that. It is an intellectually cliche answer.
Until you live it
yep.
and see it. And we saw it with this little girl because the family was literally up in our house before Easter interviewing us to be the potential parents of this little girl. Is still in the hospital, still premature, still with Down syndrome. And they saw what Seth had done to our other two children and they decided to keep the child. And it was a remarkable, remarkable thing. Because so on the one hand, I can understand the overwhelmness
sure.
and the temptation to just take care of that right away. I get it. On the other hand, Seth is a living, breathing beatitude. You know, he is what greatness in the kingdom looks like. He is humanity stripped of pretense. He's still fallen and still crazy and we pull our hair out and I don't have much hair.
I want to interrupt you for a second.
Do it.
Because a lot of times we talk about things like this and we give people the impression, and I'm not trying to do that, that, well, once you accepted it, then everything's been great.
Oh.
There really are no problems and
false.
It's just amazing and and he wakes up and unicorns fly and the angels sing.
Right. And everyone told us that. Oh, yeah, they're just such great. They're always happy. No. His fallen little heart, he's just crazy. I mean, the running away, the no safety awareness. I mean, I think literally God has probably 17 angels full time on this kid because he is crazy. But
would you change it?
Oh, of course not.
If you could go back, honestly, from the bottom of your heart, you go back and say, I could take away all the struggle, all of the extra crazy, all the extra heartache, all the anxiety that you went through those 3 months, all the anxiety, you wouldn't change it.
No, not a bit. Not a bit. And
how do you explain that?
Well,
the thing you feared the most in life, you wouldn't change.
Hence the name Astonished. That's the surprise. That's it. That God meets us in those places. And he not only meets us there, but I think there are times where God will allow that kind of difficulty, mystery, tension, paradox, and just not resolve it. So back to your original question, hey, I'm praying, and I hear nothing. Why? Well, I think there are times God veils his manifest presence from us. He's always with us. But I think there are times he does that. I absolutely think there are times he does that. So that we discover he's the treasure, because when you get like to the will of God, that can almost become this idolatrous, like, it's got to be written or I can't move. And I just see so much wisdom in the scriptures. And Paul, for instance, I think it's in Acts 14 where Paul says, hey, let's go over here. And the Holy Spirit shuts the door. Oh, let's go over here. And God, you know, shuts the door. And then he has this dream where a man from Macedonia says, hey, come to Macedonia. Most easily interpretable dream in the history of the planet. And so I firmly believe with something like the will of God, it's more about his character than it is about the writing on the wall. And there are times he has a will, but I think there are lots of times he simply says, go for it, and I'm capable of redeeming any mistakes you make along the way. Now, separate topic there, but the point is, in when you're pursuing the will of God, you're not leaving room for faith, right? If it's written on the wall, what's there? Where's the faith? Now, there are times God will do that and write it on the wall, hallelujah. And he certainly does biblically, right? Gideon's the most famous example of that. But I think there are other times where our search for certainty actually gets in the way of following. Because it's removing the risk. It's risk management again.
Again, it's risk management.
Yeah.
What a powerful point by Pastor Erie. It's so true that sometimes our search for certainty gets in the way of following God. You've been listening to the first part of a two-part broadcast titled Astonished by God, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. If you would like more information about Pastor Mike Erie or his book, Astonished, Recapturing the Wonder, Awe, and Mystery of Life with God, you can visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for joining us today, and don't forget to join us for the conclusion of our conversation with Mike Erie next time on another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hey everyone, this is Ryan Dobson along with my co-host and our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, letting you know about something exciting we have going on this month.
This month, we're offering two invaluable resources from Dr. James Dobson to help dads be the very best fathers and role models there can be for our children. I'm talking about his books titled Dads and Sons and Dads and Daughters. In these books, Dr. Dobson helps dads explore the unique blessings and gifts that come from the father-son and the father-daughter relationships. Each book contains an insightful collection of wisdom on how dads can encourage their kids throughout the journey of life and preserve a deep, lifelong connection with them.
Dads and Sons or Dads and Daughters can be yours for a suggested donation of $15 each, or request both books for yourself or the man in your family for just $30 or more. So give Family Talk a call today and request your copy of one of these books or add both to your family's spiritual toolbox. Call us now at 877-732-6825, or you can also visit our website at drjamesdobson.org.